Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening.
I'm no track star.
What you drinking today?
So my drinks of choice lately have been these Cran drinks, the Perrier lime sparkling waters.
Yeah.
And then there's like a ketone drink that I've been drinking a lot lately for like brain whatever. Like brain.
Yeah, it sounds like it's working great.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the China Shop, home of the Banda Traders podcast. My name is Kyle, and joining me tonight, we've got Vanta Trading's Baba Yaga and our director of guest procurement, Bear Goes Long. Bear is on call tonight, so hopefully the roads stay clear for the next hour or so. But if you do have to bounce, then we know why. Bear's out there keeping the streets safe in Montana.
I'll try not to undress on camera again.
just give me a heads up before you do. I never lost a train of thought so quickly. what are we talking about today, guys? You guys, I don't know why I ask you this every week. Every week it's just
crickets. You really do. I don't feel like we really have anything magical to share. I have reverted to the mean in that I had like a stretch of time where I was making like some trade recaps and doing some video content, and then I've reverted back to being super annoyed with having to make anything, so I just haven't done it.
I kind of know that feeling.
Plus, I don't really have that much more to say.
A year on the podcast has been a little bit too much time to fill. Well, plus you're also talking 5 days a week every morning too.
This is true.
All right. Well, why don't you take a break for a second then? I'll talk for a minute here. So for show news, I got 2-year flipper coming back on. He's coming in to talk about a deal he's got going on with TradeFunder. That'll be coming out on Thursday. If you cannot wait that long, then we've got John Adams Part 3 coming out on Monday if you're checking out The Buck Starts Here. Right. What do you got there? Buffalo Trace? Is that what we're drinking tonight?
Yes.
I did talk to Eric about joining up with Rare Barrel. I floated out the name. I told him they were friends with Glenn Gooley, I think is what I told him. And that seemed to have perked his interest. So Eric Mason may actually fly out to Minnesota just to go meet up and do a collaboration with the Rare Barrel guys.
Wow. That'll be epic.
I don't know if they're ready for that. I don't know. Anybody else have anything else going on this week? Anything you want to talk about before we jump into some of these topics?
No, just a wild first week. I mean, we're 4 days in now, and wow, the news is cooking.
Baba, is it just me, or is Bear's voice going kind of in and out?
Yeah, it'll be strong at the front end of your statement, and then it like distorts and drops in and out.
Okay, we got Bear back. Bear can actually talk now. We can actually understand him. So why don't we go... Actually, you know what? Let me just start that all over again. I asked y'all if you had anything notable going on this week. We're going to stop right there because nobody has anything. I know that's what they're going to say. It's okay. We're just going to move on from there, and I'm going to go right into dealing with the hurry-up bug, unless somebody else has a different suggestion that they want to work with here.
That's great.
Yeah, that's good. All right.
Okay, so lately I've been dealing with an issue where I feel like the crunch of time pressure. Like, I'll be doing things well, things will be going smoothly, not really having much problems, like with major drawdowns or like too big of wins or anything, just kind of trucking along, making, you know, the little bit that I want to make. And I just feel that little urge, that voice in the back of the head that says, now is the time to press it. Like, you've now mastered this course, now you can floor it through these turns and these accelerations, and you're good to go. Don't worry about it. Just full speed ahead. That's the feeling that I deal with, and I think that's a common thing. I think Crudelli talked about that in actually one of his posts about a year ago, right? About the thing that bankrupts most traders is not being able to slow down. Are you laughing at me or laughing at that?
I'm not laughing at you. Something completely different. It was really funny. Sorry.
It almost kind of sounds a little bit too like what Flurry's discussed with the, you know, try to size up and you get that bug of, you know, do more, do more, do better, do more.
Right, right. Because there's almost like that feel, like I remember somebody talking about like the idea that once you're not going through like the supercharged learning process anymore, once things like kind of become a little more, I don't know, I guess like set, like the routine is there, Baba, you don't spend hours every morning doing your prep anymore, right? So what do you do with that extra time then? Do you feel like a pressure to do something with that time? Like you're not getting as much of the learning done anymore, or you're not investigating strategies anymore? Do you like feel that desire, that need, like, oh shit, I gotta be using these hours now, otherwise I'm gonna be falling behind?
No, I mean, I don't feel that way about using the hours. I'm actually trying to trade my frequency a little bit less, not like dramatically, but just looking at the end of last year, some of the things that stood out to me was like number of trades, say over the course of a week, mm-hmm. where I want that to be closer to 16 to 20.
So you're what, 4 trades a day roughly?
Yeah, because, and that's just average. What that's going to count when I take a trade and I get break even stopped because my directional perspective was wrong and the market's actually, if it was this week, it was when every RTH open, we were opening in a trend shift narrative. And so you get all of this back and forth trade, two-way trade as positions kind of are rolled to go another direction. Or whatever their motive is. I mean, I'm just assuming, right? So, but even withstanding this week, like counting this week, I actually was looking through stats earlier today about the week, and because it was an odd week a little bit for me. It was a green week. All my stats looked good, but my P&L was not. I was like, wow, I thought I would have made more this week. And I think it was more that my winning trades. My losing trades were the same. My winning trades were not quite as big. I didn't catch...
You weren't getting like the third or fourth scales off for as much this week. It felt like a lot of onesie-twosies.
Not nearly as much. I was onesie-twosies all week. So that brought the profit factor down. Anyways, but on like number of trades or whatever for the week, I was trying to get over here and find it. I'll find it in a minute, but I think I was like still a little bit high, which I was okay with because of the way the week was. But it was closer to 30. It was closer to like 6 trades a day. And so just wanting to, I want to reel that in because the less trades I'm taking, the more specific the locations inevitably are. So the potential is higher, you know. I'm not taking, I'm taking less, not full on, and I'm just making this up in the moment trades, like just out there writing my own story during the trading day. But I'm taking much less like squinty shoulder shrug trades. I'm just okay with sitting all on the stream with everyone and hanging out and just, I mean, you know. But when the time is right, when the setup is there, when we get what I need, then I'm down to go. So. All that to say, I don't feel any pressure on the like, what do I do with my extra time? I have plenty, you know, going on in life. But for what you're talking about with your trading, I did, and to some extent do feel some of the
pressures or
no, not pressure. Just you want to fast forward. Want to go. I would love to just be able to fast forward to 6 months from now. This year started off better than, you know, last year by a long shot for me. And I'm excited about, you know, I'm excited about my personal trading. I've kind of, there's a, you know, a couple things that I've tightened up a little bit and it's been fun, but there is still, no matter what size you're trading, there's still two things. One, like I could just trade more size and make more. Like that's always a thing, up to an extent, right? And then achieving like these milestones or goals, you're always pushing on that. And so for me, I don't feel like learning a lot of new stuff is where I feel the pressure so much, and probably for you it's the same, but it's like I want to be an operator.
I think it's more that there was all this time that was dedicated to something that's not there anymore, and then it's almost is just kind of like now what do I do with that time?
Yeah, no, I mean, so I found this to be true. The more productive I am off the screens, the better I trade.
Yep.
Pick anything. It can be routines of exercise and walking and taking the dogs for a walk. It can be little projects here or there. It could be other deals like real estate stuff. The more productive I become off the screens, the better I can frame up what's happening and execute during in my trading. I feel like that's very true. The more I get pigeonhole focused on trading, the tighter, which is what I did last year in Q1 and 2, just lens focused like a laser on just this, like it never had been before. I mean, you make a mountain out of a molehill in some ways. Every trade is so important that I got to be so awesome. Stupid.
The harder you try to grasp at it, the harder it is to actually get
there. Yeah, man. And so like what I was looking back at my stats the day for were to evaluate the week against the expectations I have for myself, both from execution. So turning on the executions on the chart, going back, reliving the good, the bad, and the ugly from that, just on my own, just like, okay, where was I stupid? Where was I freaking spot on? Celebrating the good, being aware of like, hey, what are the clues we take away to not get caught in a mess where we take a few trades too many in a morning when we could just wait or whatever. The other thing was I wanted to just like, I have an expectancy of what, not like I need to make this much, but operating my approach, like I have an expectancy of what I would want if I had taken all of what I know and put it in someone's brain and they were executing it. I know what it should look like in stats and on the chart. And so I weigh myself against that. And I think, okay, if I'm operating this market as much as it is up to me to be the executor, how did I execute against what I know like that I should have?
Yeah.
And so there was no glaring anything from this week that stood out negative. And I'll tell you this, Kyle, and then I'll shut up for a minute. Today we petered around this morning. I took a short trade. I think I took one stab at a long early on half size, because I felt like it was likely to get some of that same chop again based on where we were opening and the ranges that we had around us and all of that. When we broke down a little bit, I took a full position short, scaled a couple off, and we jumped off. It was after you were already gone. I scaled a few off. I hopped off. I went to a lunch meeting. I got stopped out during the lunch meeting. They ran back up past my entry. And then after the lunch meeting, shortly thereafter, I hopped back. I remember leaving seeing that I got stopped out on my phone and being just so annoyed.
Right.
Like, for some weird reason, especially this afternoon, because I felt like I had waited so patiently to take the trade that I felt was the right trade to take for the day. And that I still got bullied out of it. I was kind of like, guys, man, why are y'all making it so difficult? And I was more annoyed that I was gonna just in today was just gonna be like a quarter sized my average P&L day. And I was just like, God, it's so annoying. Like, what is why? And the more I was driving, I was getting more and more like just annoyed that is how that went. And then I started thinking, what are you getting annoyed about? Like, what are you actually frustrated about? Did you do anything stupid? No. Did you break any rules? No. So the market was just being the market and happened to have an attitude about leaving that position alone. And so in reality, I was annoyed that I had respected my setups, respected my risk profile, and allowed the trade to develop or not. And it frustrated me. It frustrated me that I wasn't free to be reckless, because I could have just moved the stop to a new high of day, which would have been, that's totally outside of my process, but I got the room in the account. I got the margin. Like, I don't have to take, I don't have to take a 17-point stop or a break-even stop. If I don't, I can move it to wherever.
I feel like you just touched on something like huge right there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, I was annoyed that I had not allowed myself the liberty to be reckless. And then immediately I was like, well, that's not something to be annoyed about. I'm actually really proud of that. Right. And and it was so funny because today, like this week, there was no make or break this week. Today's not make or break. There's no crisis. I don't know why, out of nowhere, it just randomly annoyed me. I think because of the way some of these RTH mornings have been, this 2-day balance the last couple of days, I just was kind of like, come on, let's get committed to something and go for the market. That's like for NASDAQ specifically. And so
I think the market's just been edging us all week.
Yeah, and I feel like this whole week I've been real patient, you know, like I've been real patient on it. And so when we get to Friday and they still do that,
Friday, man, we've been getting kind of spoiled with Fridays lately, where Fridays have been like a quick one and done.
I know. So it was good though, because it made me aware that then I was able to celebrate, like, in a little way that, like, oh, I was annoyed because I was so disciplined that I wasn't free enough to do something reckless. And then that allowed me to, like, you know, look at where we were trading at that time. Look at, was there an opportunity to join late or later since the market had moved down? At that point, it had moved from, so I took those stops. Yeah, this is terrible. I mean, it really hurts. I took those stops at 22,025. I think the high was 22,035 3/4. It was after the initial breakdown when they ran back up to there. Anyways, we lost that, a smaller time frame, moved to the high, retested it, and then so there was a second breakdown trade that I actually took and traded it all the way down to the low balance, 865. So it ended up getting taking it on half size because it was Friday afternoon, and then basically laddering my scaling. So entry, one, like half size, scale half of that, add half back, scale half again. So I was never in a full position size, and I kind of just jockeyed this cluster of contracts down. And then once we broke below balance at 65, I was like, you know, I don't want this back inside a balance area low, because I'll normally will take a long back inside balance area low, but today I was done. It was good, flattened out. So I say all that to say, it was almost like a little hat tip from, like, I don't know, the market gods or whatever, that I had all of those thoughts and feelings throughout the day, and then came back and was like, oh, there actually is an opportunity here. and I can, you know, with less size, I made less money, but it was still disciplined and appropriate. And that's what, now I can look back at the day and go, that was operated well. Like this day, if someone showed me this, I'd be like, I mean, there's not much to change there, bud. What are you gonna do?
I was feeling pretty proud of the sequence I got off this morning. That was one of the first times I had a good ad executed, that if I hadn't have made that ad, I would have ended up not making nearly as much on that trade, because the runner ended up coming back to break even. But I was able to get two more on in a spot that made sense, get those off on a new low, and then when that one came back at break even, okay, can't hurt my feelings. I got enough off.
Yeah. So I think you just, for your, like, feeling of time or whatever, the thing that I would say is, like, speed is the enemy. This is like a tightrope walk. Mm-hmm. And I've said this, like, 50 times, and Bear echoes it every time. Like, the thing that blows accounts is trying to hurry up and hit a number. That's why there's a little, like, the little devil in some of the funded account programs is you're gunning for this number, and so you're constantly doing the math on how much you need to make each day, blah, 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 blah.
And like, you're pushing, take profits past the points that make sense because you want to hit that arbitrary number.
Yeah, something is going to, like, reign supreme in your trading. And in that environment, a lot of times it can be, like, getting a number. And there's nothing wrong with having targets for the day. I mean, I need to make certain money, you know, off the course of a week or months or whatever. You can break it down. Like, I think having some reasonable expectation. But I think for you, like,
this is the,
you've come so far in the last year.
This, the, can I use the analogy that I think I used to help me work through it. So think of like driving to work in your car, right? The slower you go, the easier it is to see the turns and the obstacles and the hazards and to react. The faster I go in my account, if it's like a car, the harder it's going to be able to see those obstacles and hazards and react. Well, the gas pedal is like the size that you're putting on, right? If I start trying to increase size, then now suddenly I got less buffer room to recognize when things are starting to go wrong. The reason why I've been able to be successful lately is because I'm able to catch those mistakes before I spin the car out and destroy, you know, whatever imaginary vehicle I'm driving in this scenario. But yeah, you get the idea. So I think I was able to reconcile that in my head that like, hey, we don't want to speed up because we're just going to lose control. And if we do that, then we're going to be right back where we started. And we don't want to spend the time rebuilding again from what happens when that happens.
Well, there's no need to.
Exactly. There's no need.
There's the other thing about trading that happens, I think, is people get into a loop of that. Like,
yes,
it's inevitable that I screw all this up and start over. And it's not.
No.
You don't.
Oh, I've done that. Oh,
you don't, man. Yeah, you don't have to do anything stupid. You could actually choose to just continue to practice wisdom as you approach the markets. And, you know, one of the things I'm super proud of about my stats since this year started is that there's no outsized loser.
Did you see the stats I sent you? Since I've gone back live? Yeah. Same thing. No single day outsized.
There's no trade where I just, you know, there's nothing stupid in there.
Trade where you gave yourself the freedom to
move the stop. And so, yeah, man, like I would just say, like, the other nice thing with smaller size is that you learn to be really efficient, and you also, you can stump your toe quite a few times before it matters. Yeah, before you really have a problem to even think about. And so that allows you to continue to stay out of emergency mode and in that good decision-making part of your mind.
Stay outside of your pain threshold.
Dude, yeah, you know how nice it is waking up every morning knowing that I don't have a big giant hole to dig out of?
Yeah.
Like, that's freeing in and of itself.
Yeah, you just sit down and do the thing. So that's like all of what we're talking about is like the realities of what it's like to like operate in the market every day. Not, I was talking to a buddy. I had lunch with a guy today, and we were talking about, he was asking me how things were going, different stuff. And one of the things I told him is that, like, I think one of the things that annoys me the most about the space we are in is how everything is like flashy and emotional, and it's and everyone's like that.
Lambo.
And and so it just you really, then everyone comes to the table with that expectation, and I am not saying that you can make like a lot of money. Like, I've had have and will have very wonderful withdrawals from my account, but the selling point of all of the flashy, vibrant, whatever.
It's dreams. We're selling you dreams.
Yeah, man. Because like what you got to do to have that is not what is modeled most often by the people who are offering that. You got to sit down every day and put on your grind boots and keep yourself disciplined and execute like a professional operator.
I'm going to tell you right now, if you're just starting out, you're not going to be making millions of dollars with 1 hour of effort a week. Like, that's just not going
to
happen.
And plus, why not try to see how much, if you're going for the making lots of money, how much can you make with fill-in-the-blank size?
The smallest amount of size, like you said.
Yeah, dude, the smallest, because then your runway is ridiculously extended. Extended. And you're going to learn how to, like, fully follow a trade idea from thesis to the finish line, because you know if you shortchange yourself, you're freaking trading tiny, so you can't do the, like, well, I'm just getting, you know what I'm saying? You gotta like make a thesis, have a structure, take the trade, and then you allow that to mature or not. And either way it goes, that's part of your book. Bear, you were saying something.
I've had a few points. That's fine. I mean, just the process of learning that discipline, kind of one of the things that's helped me even just this week is, you know, literally better shackles that let me put some better guardrails, bumper ball, whatever, on my trading to keep me out of the emotional volatility range. Yeah. And that's just helped me. I mean, we've talked before about, you know, I have my daily loss limit is set at a point where it doesn't affect me emotionally. It, you know, I can get up the next day and go, well, okay, you know, let's move on. And I've gained some new tools recently to help me solidify those. And I can look at this week and honestly, you know, very similar to what you were talking about, my biggest accomplishment this week is there's no uglies.
And that's something to celebrate, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, I had a break even week, but I was also coming off of, you know, a great week last week. So I was able to take a couple of nice payouts. And yeah, the end of result, you know, yeah, my weekend is break even, but that's not bad.
That yeah, not well, bad I mean, too, like, so there also, there has to be, and I'm trying to get better at this. I am a figure it out, conquer it, win the world person, the way my brain works. But there has to be a concession made that the market, a lot of people will use this as an excuse, but the reality is the market will sometimes deliver outsized opportunity that's awesome. And sometimes it will trade in very odd or atypical fashion and not give the type of breadth of rotation and movement that statistically you would expect. And you just have to understand that you're not in charge of that. So you bow out to that. Like you are informed by what is happening there, and you cannot force your will onto that and make it happen. And so the fact that you had a break even week, I mean, I'm not surprised because
it was a vicious week.
And then Globex overnight, there was some great opportunities. And then Thursday night, when I was like, fine, I'll trade some Globex, I get one trade on.
You get the one night where Globex does nothing.
Exactly. Exactly.
So beginning of that, you talked about, you know, you need to position yourself well to catch those outsized opportunities that when they come up. Well, what's the inverse?
Yeah, if you're blown up, you won't get them.
Well, what's the inverse of that outsized opportunity? It's an outsized ass kicking. Right, and if you let it, the market's more than happy to give you an outsized ass kicking.
Yeah. And when I say outsized opportunity, I mean
400 point runners.
Well, I mean, yeah, sometimes we get that, but I just, so like today's move down, I would say that is once it finally went and we traded from value area high of a 2-day balance to balance area low of a 2-day balance, that type of move happens. It happens pretty often. It's not super atypical. If you fight and fight and fight and fight and fight inside the first 2 hours of the morning to force a trade of that length to happen, you're going to just eat stops, eat stops, eat stops.
That's been the thing that I think has really shifted my trading into a new gear this year is the elimination of all that crap. Because it's the same thing. Like, oh, now the opportunity I really want has come up, but I'm out of bullets because
I'm going to tell you what, and we've talked about that in the room. And there was a day, was it this morning or yesterday morning, I was saying, guys, I hope to God y'all aren't trading this. I don't know what you're doing, if anyone's trading in this.
Oh, yeah. Was it yesterday?
I think that was yesterday. I was just like, I just want to say there'll be something better, and this ain't it. Please, please don't sit there and give away your money in the 45-point range on NASDAQ for 2 hours. Please.
I think it was better on ES and YM. I think I had some decent trades yesterday.
But. Hey, I almost traded YM today. I almost came back to Grandpa Streets.
Dude, YM's been my friend, man.
But but that point you made, Kyle, is well taken and should be like noted by everyone that listens to this. If that happens enough to you, then you will either not make it or you'll make a change. And what I'm saying is, if you trade a dumb, you know, second rate entry, you're done trading for the day because you've now hit your max loss, or you've just lost so much you're just unstable. And then where you, in your mind, as you sat down and looked at the market and thought, I would love to sell something in this area or buy something in this area. And then after you've shot all your bullets, then it goes and gives the opportunity that you wish you'd have been patient for. Once that happens, like, I don't know the threshold, but it shouldn't take too many. Then you just are so okay with, like, you wait around for it and never get it. That's fine. I'd rather wait around and never get what I want than to give in to what the market is advertising to me and be like, you know, it's like watching QVC and just buying everything that comes across the chain.
Not every move is an actionable opportunity. Not every move is
actually, here's the thing. Every move is an actionable opportunity for somebody.
Not for me.
But it might. But what I'm saying is,
yeah.
Every move is someone's edge.
Somebody's.
But is it yours?
No.
Are you a cheetah that's going to chase after everything and go run down your food? Or are you a sniper that's going to sit back and wait for your food to come to you?
Yeah, exactly. So I think we've belabored the point, Kyle, but I think you should be...
I think it's a good point to belabor.
You should be super appreciative of the work that you've put in to get where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You should not be in a hurry. I'm not going anywhere. The market's not going anywhere. I mean, I don't plan to. And I would love to see end of 2025, Kyle... reference back to beginning of 2025, Kyle, and see where the process has taken you. But as responsibly as you've gotten to where you are, that is the same, if not more, level of responsibility and discipline it takes to continue to move forward.
Yeah.
There's never a point where you get to just let loose.
Right. Yeah.
that's the dirty line.
I don't get to just take the stops off at some point.
You think that some point, I used to think, at some point, I'll just be able to freewheel it and sling it. And, I mean, I could to some extent for some amount of time, but the market will not tolerate that level of arrogance,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, well, if that's true, then every day you have to be on. Like, every day you're on. There's no, like, today is my day to be a jackass and trade with huge stops and force stuff. There's, like, one of those... Mm-hmm. Takes away 3 days, 2 days of good work. So you can't afford to come in and throw it to the wind and just let it rip. It's like everyone does all this work and does all this work and learns and learns and learns only to wait for the day that they can just sit down and do whatever they want.
That day's never going to come.
That's not a day that's coming.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's the first thing to learn is every day. I'm gonna paraphrase Tom Dante because I can't put it as eloquently as him, but he's like, every day I wake up and I have to remind myself that I'm just one bad tray away from being poor.
Flaherty says he knows. What does Flaherty like to say? I know what I'm capable of.
Yeah, dude, same, bro.
Right. There's one other point that I wanted to bring back before we. Because we're belaboring
it's okay.
I just want to throw the journaling out there too, because I never would have found these issues. I never would have found workarounds, or I never would have identified things for me that like helped me like fix some of these problems, some of these leaks, if it wasn't for the fact that I've been journaling every day. So if you're not out there journaling yet still, God, please turn this off, go straight to Walmart and buy yourself a fucking nice journal and start handwriting in that thing every day, please.
You like the paper please. Journal, Kyle?
Yes. Nice journal.
Yes.
Just a notebook.
Here's how freaking crazy that this thing is. I don't even have to remember what I wrote in the journal for it to have an effect on me. I write in it every morning. This is what I wrote Tuesday. If I struggle, be quick to pull the plug. Plenty of setups in a day. Don't need to be in a rush. Forgot all about that. Struggled early, pulled the plug, and wasn't even really a question. But I think if I hadn't wrote that down, I would have been probably still trying to fight it.
Also, it's interesting that you're journaling pre-market.
I journal more pre-market because for me, it's more about getting all this stuff out.
Yeah, you're building attention. You're planning your day.
I love that.
How am I feeling? Did I wake up fresh today? what's the market looking like? Am I taking 4-hour high swings? How did I do yesterday? Am I still upset about something that I had trouble with? And then I'll throw in a couple things like, these are the things that I want to focus on. So no skipping TPs has been a new one. So yeah, I want everything off at TP 1 or 2 because I find that I tend to hold for too much. Greed just causes me to lose probably half of my trade. I'm getting like 1.5 RR on something that I should be getting 2-1, 2.5-1 at least. Stay on the 5-minute time frame. Don't be afraid to put on risk. That's probably going to be the next one I have to work on next week, is actually taking like the full risk allotment, because I'm starting to find myself wanting to size down just for no reason whatsoever, other than just fear, I guess. But yeah, so those are the things that, like you said, they put intention on the day. So it gives me something that I can at least check off, even if I don't take a trade, that I can at least feel good about doing, knowing that I accomplished this one thing. Hey, I stayed on the 5-minute chart today. Good job, me. I didn't get sucked into the 30-second. I think we had a moment too where I think it was on Tuesday. I think that was actually a really good moment with Harvey when he said, "They got me. They got me." I was like, "Ah, I can laugh about it." When I was able to laugh about it, it was that much easier too to pull the plug on that day and quit. It took me out of that moment. That what did you call it, Baba? That you're in emergency mode. Like, you got to get yourself out of that emergency mode. And journaling is one of those things that I think can help you do that.
Nice. I love it.
I'll get off my soapbox now.
Yeah, you're good. Do we want to kind of switch gears to something?
Transitioning from prop accounts to personal cash accounts?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
All right. He said the follow-up to that was reasons to do it and a process to handle the emotions and money management.
So it's funny that this topic was mentioned in the conversation leading up to tonight, because one of the things that I discussed over lunch with a friend was the story of the FTT saga and how that kind of just rained on my Q4 of 2024.
Yeah, understandable.
And it did a lot of people's. Did a lot of people's. And I made some decisions. Mm-hmm. I made some decisions with that weren't wise in retrospect, but there was intention behind them, and there was no way to know. I mean, there was no way to know for sure that it was going to go like it went. But what I did, I guess it was around September or something when we had the hurricane. I had traded the FTT stuff very little. I had some accounts, hadn't done a lot with them. Hurricane happens. That's like 3 weeks of not doing anything. And I made the decision to only trade the FTT accounts for the last stretch of the year. So from September to December, I put all my time and effort and trading into those accounts. I didn't trade ridiculously sized, but I traded a little bit larger size than I would have traded on my cash account. Well, a good bit. I mean, decently bigger. But I also reeled in targets. I didn't try to go for, ridiculous moves. I just tried to stack it every day, stack it every day, stack it, like a lot of folks were doing.
This was during the hurricane.
Just post-hurricane.
All that stuff is also going on. You're trying to deal with.
And I thought that would be a way to insulate myself as well. Right. Let's use someone else's capital.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Let's put our money back, not put our money at risk. Let's do that. So I spent the better part of that stretch into, I guess it was the end of November when they went under, November 7th. So basically I traded the month of October and the first week of November, and then that's when they went under. And I just realized, so my post-mortem on that whole situation is that because I wasn't trading anything else, I was incredibly vulnerable to like the counterparty risk of what happened. And it wasn't necessarily about the money so much as it was about the fact that I could never get that time back that I spent.
And that's time and money that came at a time when you really could have used it too. I think that was the real kick in the nuts.
And so then there was some emotional hangover from that, just for me personally, because, the thousands of dollars that they walked with of mine, tens of thousands of dollars that they walked with of mine, And I had expectancy of that, and I also had plans for that. And it would be one thing if I traded like a fool and lost it all. And let me preface or stop here and say there's a lot of people that were owed a lot more money than me that I know personally, and I feel for them more than my situation, but I had plans for that income. And so I had some conversations with some folks that I know because of that whole thing. Like, I won't ever trade another. I won't trade with anyone like that ever again. No, no account.
No prop firm ever.
Not interested. What is the win for me? There's not one. I would love to have a conversation about why they're great, but where I am in this journey, I don't have to take that risk of even Top Step. I don't think they're going out of business, but I don't have to depend on them to approve my payout. When I send an email or when I do a thing on my broker, they just send me the money. Yes, there's always a counterparty risk with a broker, I guess, technically could just go out. Okay, so I get that. If EdgeClear goes under, I'm screwed. Okay?
Yeah, but are they FDIC insured at least?
You know, no, not trading accounts.
No, futures account. But I don't keep a total. I mean, I don't keep, you know, a massive amount of money in there.
Oh, you
I
don't keep it enough. All in there at all times?
No.
But
I keep enough in there to trade without ever thinking about margin requirements or losing days. But that's it. Now,
the qualifier there is, though, is that you're in a situation where you have enough cap. You've built up enough of a capital cushion to be able to do that out of a personal account. And
how much does it take?
It doesn't take that much. And that's just, I think most people look at these prop firms as a stepping stone. You know, I know that's my growth path plan is pull enough money out of the prop firm to take care of some other stuff first. You know, hey, I'm in the middle of building a house. I don't even have drywall up here, as you know, these guys can see. But then B is refunding my EdgeClear account so that I'm not playing that game anymore. So that I can do that same thing.
Yep. But yeah, I have priorities. Yeah, I have no qualms with people choosing that path for them. And I rode down the river of prop firm accounts. Some of my best months I've ever had trading were with prop firms withdrawing that money. I didn't have any problems. Mm-hmm. Never had a problem with Top Step. Never had a problem with One Up Trader. That's another one that I use. I don't even know if they're still in business. Those are really the only two that I've ever traded with and withdrew anything. FTT was another one. And, you know, there are guys I trade with every day who are just pillaging the prop firm space, and it's wise for them to do it. And they feel good about that for them. Like, they got screwed in FTT as well, and they're rocking a personal account of some amount, and they're also still trading prop space accounts and doing their thing. And the math works. The risk profile minus them going out of business is great because, you know, random ballpark 10% margins on NQ $2,200-ish dollars per contract margin requirements. How many accounts can you buy with $2,200? I mean, a lot. And one of them is, what, $400, let's say, and that buys you $5,000 worth of drawdown. So that's like having a $5,500 or it's like having a way bigger account. Not $5,500. It's like having you can trade – five minis,
like,
so that's
10K account, right?
So that's like 10K, but then you have a 5K drawdown, so that's like having a $15,000-$16,000 trading account. So yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, you could get access to that sized account for $400. Yes, it's a good deal. Yes, you have to jump through their hoops. Yes, you have to check their boxes. Yes, you have to hit their P&L targets. Yes, mm-hmm. They ultimately can decide whether to pay you out or not at their discretion, which most of the time for the bigger ones is not a problem. But that situation, I like looked up from that and I was like, wow, that was so stupid. What a waste of time. And I just thought, like, what's the point of playing around with that? No. And then I get cynical, to be honest. I get real cynical because I get I had a fill trying to get off today. They traded to the price three times before they finally filled my contract. And I was just laughing, thinking how many freaking, no offense to anybody, but like how many prop firm trader people got filled the first time it ticked that trade. I had that order sitting there forever and it took three tags before they filled it out. Those little things kind of annoy me because those sometimes you've seen it, Kyle, Bear, maybe live, like sometimes it'll tick that I won't get filled and that's the bottom. And then they run it back up and they're that then I take that off at 15 points instead of 45. Now, maybe I need to change my strategy, but the point is, you know, it's like out here in the real world, you know, we actually have to exchange that contract to somebody else.
Right.
So I can't trade 400 micros and get all 400 filled at one tick of a price. Like that's just, and so is it available to me? Yes. Could I do it? Yes. Am I bitter for everyone who is doing it and it's working well? No. I hope it goes great. I hope no one else goes out of business. I hope everybody stacks five accounts together and blows Top Steps socks off with how much they make. I just won't be doing it. I won't be doing it. I'll never again.
Never again? You say never?
Oh, why? Why? What's the win? I mean,
what's in it for you?
I'm paying them 20%.
What if it was a real prop firm? What if it was like a real one that actually like funded you a real account, gave you real broker statements, gave you real access to capital?
Yeah, if I can screenshot my trading results from the last month and send it to them and they go, oh, we want you on our book, then sure, I would go for that. Well, I wouldn't actually. I don't even know that I would go for that. Okay, I'm just saying that would be the path. And then they would need to provide me with something that I couldn't do for myself.
Right. Well, that's got to be capital, really.
And it's got to be enough capital that.
Yeah.
I mean, so you like
can size way up.
Thought of paying them. And then I'd have to decide if I even wanted to deal with that, with the stress of that, because I've sized down purposefully because I don't want that a certain level of stress personally, at least not right now. I'd like to get a couple years, you know, under my belt doing this full time before I start trying to set some kind of records. Do I think that I am going to do some sick, awesome stuff at some point? Yeah. I thought it would be like Q1 last year or Q2 last year. And because I was trying to press for ridiculousness, it was just really not productive for me. So I got back in my lane and I'm going to do my deal, and eventually there'll be some cool, real sexy stuff probably, but
it's going to come a day when some setup's going to come and it's going to catch your eye just right. You're going to hit that thing with like 10x size and you're going to just clean up.
So here's the other cool thing is I was in, so when you look at trades as like entry to flat, right? That's the way I look at a trade. So a trade from entry to flat may have multiple scales inside of that, but that's one sequence, right?
Yeah.
I was in four times my initial size in a trade when you look at flat to flat.
Mm-hmm.
But I only ever had to take regular risk to get the trade started. When I talk about efficiency, I never had to put the margin in for that number of contracts. I never had to worry about that, but I was able to essentially extract what would have been a 16 contract position. Right. Like that's cool to me. That is cool to me more so than dealing with, you know, whether they're going to click approve on a Friday when I'm trying to, you see what I'm saying? Like, I just don't want to worry and I don't want to pay them 20%. What are you giving me?
Right.
Like,
right.
Maybe I'm a man, and I could, maybe this will change in 6 months. Maybe I'm just still too bitter from all that happened, but that really pissed me off. Like it really pissed me off. And I just felt like how foolish of me to be that vulnerable. That's what I felt like. How foolish to be that vulnerable. Maybe if I hadn't locked in on it like I did. And like I said, tons of people are doing great. When I'm a huge fan, I think there's some cool prop firms that are out there. If I was going to trade with one, there's two that I know of that I would work with. One of them you're probably both trading with them.
Mm-hmm.
The TFD sounds like a cool idea, and Top Steps obviously, you know, second to none.
But, Top Steps dead to me, but that's all right.
and well, Kyle, here's the thing. Case in point.
Yep.
I'm not even saying the specifics of your situation.
I'm not making a decree on whether it's right or wrong, whether they had the right to do that or whatever.
Just another headache. Why do I want to deal with that?
That's my point. It doesn't matter if you were crossing a blurred line or they were crossing a blurred line or whatever. But
do
it's
I really
like,
want to rely on that?
Why do I? And so the case in point, and when this matters, like this really matters, I'm not playing. I mean, I'm not playing around with that kind of thing.
No, yeah. And I'm trading a cash account in conjunction with trading a live account or a prop account now. Like, I'm not making that same mistake again. I'm going to get paid this time on something, whether it be from the prop firm or from my cash account. Somebody's paying me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm paying top set 10% right now. So, you know, that was kind of one of my big accomplishments is I actually crossed the threshold and I passed the free money stage. And now I actually have to profit split with them. So,
nice.
We'll see.
Congratulations, dude.
And dude, I don't want to sound like arrogant in any way or demeaning in any way. I mean, that's where I cut my teeth and traded for years. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that.
I think the point you're trying to make is just that it's not a sure thing. It doesn't matter how sure it seems. It's not a sure thing.
Well,
it's not as sure as your account is going to be if you're trading a cash account.
I think, you know, honestly, a lot of people that trade with us every day think differently than I do about all of that. And I'm so fine with that. I think that's great. If it works, if it's working for you, and I know for some they're killing it, no problems. Keep killing it. Don't change anything because I think what I think. But that's just how I feel.
It's just part of the growth curve. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know a better way to say that, but I feel like it's part of the path. But people need to be, I think, more conscious and more aware that part of the path is getting off of prop firms and into your own account. Use the prop firms to teach you.
I think eventually, too, you want to get off of futures in general and just get into like dividend reinvestment. Build enough of a nest egg. You don't have to trade anymore. Why even bother?
I want to be the guy popping 50, you know.
Just for fun? Just because it's going against him and he's like, I'll take another.
No, 100. I don't want to be. No, not because it's going against me. No, I want to be popping 50. It's like the other thing is like I am contributing in a very small way. But in reality, I am participating in creating what I want to transpire. So when I sell a lot, I am putting on either at limit or when I mark it in, I see me on the tape.
There's real pressure on the books to move in your direction, right?
Like I am, if I want to sell a retest of 21,950, when I put that order out, it does something for the goal of selling the market to a direction. I like being a participant and contributing to my team's goal of holding the market there and continuing lower. And when we are in an area and I don't trade enough size to move anything, but I like contributing my portion of both liquidity and directional perspective into the market, the actual market that I am actively and legitimately participating in. I think that's cool.
I like it, man. I like it. We have anything else to say before we wrap this thing up? Or do we make an episode out of it?
Hey, you know, once we fix my audio.
Yeah, shout out.
Woo, man, I'm glad you had that headset with you because that was about to be a disaster. All right, I think that is probably going to do it for today's episode. So please join me in thanking Baba Yaga and Bear for joining in tonight. Everybody listening for sticking around to the end. Remember, you can show our panelists some love. You can click on those links in the show notes. You can visit Vaunted Trading to sling some contracts with the Stone Cold Assassin. Go to bandoftraderspodcast.com. You can browse our huge catalog by guest. And you can go check out Prop Alpha if you still haven't. Discount code on that was Vaunta. That gets you, I think it was at 50% off your first 3 months.
Yeah, that or DM me if that didn't work.
Yeah, one of those two. When you're doing all that, we'll get to work another exciting episode. But until then, like, share, subscribe, all the things, and have a green week.
Awesome.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only. It does not constitute financial or investment advice and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk.
Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations. Produced by China Shop Productions.